Stand by for emergency materialization.
We've got things very, very wrong.
What even is it?
Teleport, obviously.
Teleport. Oh, I hate teleport.
Teleporter. Fancy word. Just like 3D printers, really. All you have to do is add...
Pull to open.
Yes, and what do you do?
They break down living matter and information and transmit it.
Why don't we just... teleport now!
Hello, welcome, and thank you for beaming in and joining us here in a very, very special pull to open, a little side quest into one of the most interesting and maddening science fiction concepts in the television show, Doctor Who. My name is Chris Taylor.
And as if by magic, I appear. I'm Pete Paschal. That's right. We're getting deep into it, into teleportation, into transmatting, which of course is matter transmission, don't you know?
Indeed.
We're going to unpack it. We're going to look at it. We're going to talk about why it works, why it doesn't work, and when it might be okay to use, and some good examples and bad examples of how Doctor Who has used this very common sci-fi technology now. So I think it behooves us to start at the beginning with regards to deconstruct teleportation.
That's right, because at the beginning, Doctor Who did it before Star Trek. we all associate teleportation with Star Trek, with Captain Kirk beaming down, with the phrase "beam me up, Scotty," which is that one of those phrases that was never actually said?
It was never actually said.
But before Star Trek even made it on the air, there was barely a glint in Gene Roddenberry's eye in 1964 in The Keys of Marinus.
That's right.
You have several teleportation devices.
Yeah. So the Doctor and his companions are essentially given travel dials, which are watches, but they don't tell time. They actually transport you to entirely different places. It seems like actually entirely different continents on this planet called Marinus. So they were beaming all over the place. Star Trek was doing the same thing. Now, that said, as a plot device within episodes, I think everyone associates it with the transporter. Not to mention they also added some special effects to it. So fair enough. I mean, that's kind of what everyone points to now as the gold standard of teleportation. But very important, no, Doctor Who did do it first.
Doctor Who got there first, and it reinvented itself. Basically, I think the Keys of Marinus is probably the only example in the Hartnell era. But then when you get to the Troughton era, you have the Seeds of Death, which we've been to, where they invent the transmat. Like, they come up with a whole new name for it.
And in that place, it's Travelmat. Transmat. I don't think the word transmat appears until, I think it's the Ark in Space. I think that's the first time the word transmat is used.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ben.
Which would also be in the Troughton era. So Troughton era, they're really doing it up.
No, Ark in Space.
Tom Baker. Wheel in Space is what I was thinking of. So basically, they not only do they invent an entirely new name in the Seeds of Death, it's the entire basis of the plot. It is everything. It is the power that's driving the entire Earth economy in the future. So they don't do it by halves.
Yeah, I like that because, I think leave it to Doctor Who, even though this is now after Star Trek, they actually explore one of the very good questions you would have. If you have this power to just beam stuff anywhere, like, why would you ever have trucks or anything? And they're like, well, we don't. You know, like in the future, we just don't have rockets, we don't have trucks, everyone's just beaming everywhere. And they actually do a decent job of telling a story of like, wait, this is the world has gotten lazy and they don't want to explore anymore because of the magic of this technology. So again, kudos to Doctor Who for deconstructing the tech.
Yeah.
Like well before, actually, I don't know, even to this day, Star Trek has done something about like the economy that a transporter enables.
Yeah, Star Trek really doesn't want to show you its future utopian economy of what happens when you can just make tea Earl Grey hot anytime you like in the replicator devices. Doctor Who kind of used it sparingly in the Troughton era. Then we've got the spiders and Planet of Spiders in the Pertwee era really doesn't show up that much in Pertwee at all.
No, not really. And I think there's a reason for this. I think it's because the special effects expectations were at a point, I think, where doing that sort of Star Trek level effect often just probably would have been a tough sell, essentially, a cash-strapped show like Doctor Who, particularly one that was almost canceled right before season 7.
Indeed, and they, you know, so they're probably well aware of that. But also, you know, transporting can be a way to get the plot to move faster, as we see in Ark in Space and the Sontaran experiment and Revenge of the Cybermen, which has got just got transmatting all over the place to the Ark, from the Ark to Nerva Station to, you know, and the Time Lords kind of beam them to Skaro in the middle of all that, right?
Yeah. So actually, this is a good point to set a couple of ground rules. Like, one, you guys might have noticed as we're sort of going over some of these examples, we're not bringing up the TARDIS at all, which certainly can appear and disappear in time and space. I'll be honest, I know this is a cheat, but it I don't think it really counts. One, we don't really know how the TARDIS works at all, other than what we've heard about the vortex. So it sort of goes somewhere that is extra dimensional, I guess, and then sort of comes out somewhere else. So I don't think that's really teleportation in the same way that it's depicted in a lot of other technological solutions, whether it's a transmat or a transporter. Also, just from a story standpoint, the TARDIS is usually the means to begin or, you know, exit the adventure. And, you know, notwithstanding episodes where it is a plot device, which can be good. But I don't think it counts as like teleportation or transmat in the way we're thinking about it here. So that's why we haven't talked about it.
And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? So it starts to get used in the Baker era, and we've seen one of those examples recently. We've been to the Brain of Morbius, where the Sisterhood of Khan can teleport people, and the Doctor actually derides it as being low tech, lower tech than a forklift truck. Now, obviously not being literal, but, you know, but he is suggesting that, yeah, you don't really, you know, don't teleport people. It's like, I've got this TARDIS here, basically, is what he should have said. Like, this is true teleportation. This is like, it still exists. You don't have to reconstitute me out of atoms. It could be an interesting side quest, and maybe one that would take a lot longer than this. It's like, how many times has the Doctor been killed before he gets the time that we know about him sort of being killed in a teleport over and over? And we'll get to that.
I like to think the Sisterhood and the Spiders, we mentioned them too, are maybe something slightly different than these technological ways of teleporting, because in each case, it's more psychic power, and you could use magic, I guess. But I also like the idea of having this super advanced power of thought. You can kind of think yourself somewhere else, you know, if you take my point. I mean, though it's very kind of out there and new agey, but, you know, there are these theories of holographic universe theories where I don't want to get into it, but the universe itself is kind of a projection of lower dimensions, and maybe you could,
spoilers,
in a sense, that your thought has more interaction with the universe than you might think, and therefore, if you were to master that somehow, you could just think yourself somewhere else. I know, kind of nuts, but I like to think that that's what's going on in those cases.
So it's kind of used sparingly in Old Who. Like, we've got the examples of Stones of Blood, Mordred Undead, the Five Doctors with the Master's Transmat button.
One thing I almost forgot about the Ark in Space and that little trilogy with Revenge of the Cybermen and stuff is that Doctor Who used to be a little more consistent about needing either another chamber at the other end or at least another device. So, for example, Revenge of the Cybermen explicitly says that Kelman has gone down to Voga, presumably in like a shuttle or something, and set up the transmat. So he couldn't just beam there without a thing there to receive him. And that's clearly how TMAT works in the Seeds of Death. I got to say, that seems much more plausible than Star Trek, where you can just pick a point in space and decide I'm going to appear there. You know, like how? Like, what is reconstituting you at that spot?
Right.
And they never really sort of talk about that and how you're transmitted. I mean, there's a lot of technobabble in Star Trek, but there's nothing that really explains any of that. Whereas this, again, I'm not saying it's real, certainly, but it feels more real when there's something there. Now, I'm going to qualify this. Doctor Who has been inconsistent about this. There are certainly many, many examples, particularly in New Who, where there is not a chamber on one side or the other.
Yes. Well, we should get to that because, yeah, I think that's the main point. As we were sort of listing out this incomplete list, but just, you know, everything we can mention, everything we find via, you know, mentions of Transmet, looking through the Doctor Who transcript site, it is way more used in New Who. I would not necessarily have expected that. I mean, it's mentioned in The End of the World, like right in episode 2 of New Who. Lady Cassandra, who became one of our ratings, tries to use a teleporter to escape that station. And then it's in Bad Wolf. The Daleks are transmitting victims. Right. You know, it's how they get into the Big Brother house in the first place. Voyage of the Damned, everyone's got bracelets teleporting them from the starship Titanic down to Earth. The Sontarans are transmitting in the Sontaran stratagem. And did we see the Sontarans transmitting, teleporting in the old series?
Ooh, good question. I don't think so. No, they were usually in those circular ships of theirs. So
it's kind of become this signature move, right? That they all get transmitted in at once, and then you've got big, big, scary Sontaran Legion.
Well, that's kind of where I would pause for a second and say one of the reasons it is used, apart from convenience, which we can talk about too, is that dramatic move of suddenly the tables are turned one way or the other because I'm able to beam in or beam out everybody or a bunch of troops. That's kind of cool, you know, like it's suddenly, oh, wow, because you have this advanced technology and suddenly you have, like, why wouldn't you use it that way?
And yes. You have the CGI that can make a bunch of Sontarans appear on screen at once in a very cool way. Why wouldn't you use that?
The other reason I think it can be kind of neat and very cool in storytelling. It just looks cool, man. Like, I remember, honestly, I'm old enough to remember the first time I saw a Star Trek movie in the theater, and they had these sort of updated beaming effects where they were sort of much brighter and they had sort of lights part and you know, come together. And it was this kind of neat thing. And I thought, oh man, that is like such a level up from the TV series. Now that stuff looks old compared to the CGI of today. But I think there are real opportunities with, you know, visual effects and sound effects to just make something really, really look awesome with the right sort of teleporting effects. So, yeah.
For sure. And you've got kind of teleporting effects in Silence in the Library, which teleport has become a very big part of the plot there. And there's the reason for that heartbreaking end where we discover that Donna's husband in the dream was there all along. He just steps out of a teleporter.
That's another one where they did chambers, which was kind of going, that just feels a little more real.
Yes. And then we had perhaps one example where it doesn't look cool, at least cool perhaps in Doctor Who history. We recently talked about the new paradigm Daleks in our episode on canon and Moffat changing the Daleks in canon, where they teleport in, but they definitely teleport out. I can't remember if they teleport in these fabulous new Power Ranger Daleks.
They teleport from... No, the Power Ranger Daleks just come out of the chamber. There is a point where the Daleks are revealed and they're on Earth and they've just sort of conquered... Well, they've gotten the testimony from the Doctor and they basically decide, oh, we're just going to leave, and they beam back to the ship, which is fine. I mean, it's a simple... This is exactly why you do it. It's simple. You don't want to have a long montage of Daleks going back to a shuttle, leaving, going to the ship, and, you know, taking 5 minutes to do that when you could just have them beam out. And this is, this is the main reason the transporter exists, right? Or the teleport exists. I mean, this is why Star Trek invented it. They didn't want to do exactly that every single episode. Let's just beam down everybody. It's convenient.
And you get to the point where you have to knock out the convenience, right? Where it's almost expected that you'd have a teleport. As in Flesh and Stone, where they have to say that the teleporter is dead. And that's why they can't beam away when the angels arrive.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a bunch of times where they use teleports in New Who and in Matt Smith. And so dinosaurs in a spaceship. I believe they escaped Solomon's ship via teleport at the end of that one.
Yep.
And he's beamed down to Trenzalore on time with the Doctor.
Which is, again, an example of like how it's very convenient from the plot, because you want the Doctor to not realize he's going to Trenzalore, right? Mm-hmm. But if he's going down there in a shuttle craft, he'd have a lot of time to realize that, hey, what's this planet called Christmas originally called? Or this town called Christmas? Like, what's the actual planet name? But it, because it's teleport, it's fast, fast, fast.
Podcasts on the way down, so I didn't bother. That sounds like him. You know, then there's a little bit in the Witch's Familiar, and
yeah, which we talked about in the cold open of that. Like, it's actually we don't think of the story that Missy tells Clara about the Doctor as being a teleport story, but it is. That's what he's trying to charge up when he's, you know, got all of these cyborgs attacking him at once. That the entire story turns on a teleport device. Right. But it's also interesting that it's a story told by Missy and you can't necessarily fully trust it. So, yeah.
So, you know, that brings us to Heaven Sent.
Oh, yes.
Which might be the most interesting example of this. And you don't really think of it as a teleport episode, except that it really puts a spotlight on one of the biggest issues in sci-fi with teleports that is almost never explored, which is if you are completely destroying yourself atom by atom and then reconstructing yourself somewhere else, are you not in fact dying every time?
Yes.
And it's, you know, full on explored here.
Would your skulls not pile up in a castle moat if you kept teleporting in here? Absolutely they would. So yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, I was scratching my own head thinking, has Doctor Who ever dealt realistically with teleportation? Of course it has, in what many people now judge to be the best Doctor Who story ever. So Moffat used it a fair amount, but after that, after Heaven Sent in our list, my goodness. Well, I guess it's also in Twice Upon a Time, right? There's a lot of teleporting all over the place with testimony does that. Yeah. So it's, you know, sparingly used. It works for the plot. Now, as soon as you get Chibnall in the showrunner's seat, you get The Woman Who Fell to Earth, in which Tim Shah has a short-range teleport. And Chibnall has the Doctor saying, double cheat to that. Which
sounds like a confession to me.
Exactly. And this is what I'm discovering Chibnall does, right? We saw this in 42, where he's just like, look, just calling it a stupid pub quiz doesn't stop it from being a stupid pub quiz. Calling teleportation a double cheat in The Woman Who Fell to Earth doesn't stop it from being a double cheat. Like, you're actually drawing attention to the thing. And then Chibnall goes nuts in his first season.
Totally. And on. And like he really like double cheats a lot. This opens up a whole new level of teleporting in Doctor Who. So Demons of the Punjab, we talked about that fairly recently. So this is the Jarians, I think they're called. They transmit all over the place. They even have these little devices for them. There's the Saranga conundrum.
That's right.
Which doesn't have a lot of teleporting within it.
But it's the fact that they teleport onto the ship, right? It brings up all of these questions that you don't want brought up in the viewer's mind of like, why don't they just teleport away?
Well, they also bring up, it's implied at least, that they can actually beam from star system to star system in this one.
Yes.
They usually say that. And you're just like, wait a minute. You're just kind of like, what are the range of these things? And again, that's probably pretty inconsistent in Doctor Who. It's actually fairly inconsistent in Star Trek, if you think about the reboot movies too. Mm. But you don't want your viewers thinking about this, where it's like, wait a minute, if they can just beam from place to place, why do ships even exist anymore? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and you definitely don't want them thinking about it in Kablam, where the Kablam men are transmitting to deliver packages, because then you're going to demand it from Amazon, and Amazon's going to go from like same day delivery if you spend more than $25 to same minute delivery if you spend more than $50. Packages transmitted to our doorsteps. But that's kind of a cool use of it, I guess.
I guess. But then there's Orphan 55, where they have a teleport cube that takes them from the TARDIS and gets them back to the TARDIS, and not to mention everyone else to that spa, which is like, wow. You know, like, it's not like, I get glossing over going from the planet to the ship, but glossing over like this very large distance, perhaps even across time, like into a space-time vehicle, and all over the universe. Like, come on. You're just like, wait a minute. Like, what are the limits of this thing? That's just, I know this is convenience, but there's got to be a limit.
And speaking of precision, I mean, there's also got to be the limit of, like, we see it in Star Trek all the time, right? The one question I have about teleporters in Star Trek, especially after Next Generation, is why the hell isn't this technology shut down? Where is health and safety? You know, the number of transporter accidents that they have in this show, like, it's pretty much almost one-to-one. Like, it's a terrible, terrible technology. Like, talk about parts small enough for a child to swallow. Jesus, this thing, it just keeps going wrong. Anyway, I mentioned that because in Revolution of the Daleks, which is the next example that we've got coming up, the Daleks are actually able to transmit their mutant-y beings inside the armor of the Dalek. How far? I don't remember how far the distance is that they're going in that one.
Well, they're like in some factory in Tokyo, I think it is. And they end up transporting all over the world into their armor, which seemingly takes care of the chamber thing. You could argue, okay, that the Dalek shells themselves are transmat enabled somehow and they can beam in and out of them. But this is, again, like way too many steps too far. And it actually brings up what I think is the biggest problem with transporters and teleports, if they're used in any way where you that the viewer's invited to question how functional they are, which is that they are too powerful. Like, once you have one side of your conflict clearly has power over matter and energy on this level, you kind of like, well, wait a minute, why is anything a problem? Like, if the like, again, in this episode, these are supposedly kind of stranded Daleks that are trying to make do with human technology and, you know, trying to rebuild themselves from that. So they all look weird and they've cloned themselves and they're just doing the best they can. And then suddenly they can beam into the void. If you can do that, like, why don't you just beam all the humans into the ocean or into volcanoes or you know? And if you could say, well, the chamber thing you just said, well, okay, like, why not just build chambers all over the world and, you know, beam Daleks all over
entire
the place,
Daleks, yeah,
you know, and just keep beaming stuff, like, keep using this tech. And it's just like, you know, they just beam into their armor and that's it.
It may be what we're discovering is the smartest Doctor Who story to use teleport, you know, not counting Have Ascent, which I think is a category of its own, is Seeds of Death, because it does explore the full ramifications of what you would use this technology for. You'd use it for freaking everything. So, yeah, it is interesting that you would sort of expect a showrunner coming in after Heaven Sent drops the mic on teleport stories to kind of not use it, because, like, why wouldn't it be the same problem as you see there, the Doctor dying over and over? Chibnall obviously didn't listen to that. But also, RTD has signaled his willingness to include teleports in the second RTD era during 14's run in the Star Beast. We have the Doctor setting up this impromptu Shadow Proclamation courtroom to try the Meep. And then he just says, intercept teleport. Just like that, clicks his fingers, basically, and Wrath Warriors beam in to that parking garage where this impromptu courtroom is taking place. So it's a blink and you can miss it kind of thing. Like, it's not central to the plot.
I do hope it's not indicative of what he's planning going for, because I think you're right. I would rather see essentially writers challenge themselves to not use teleports. And if I were writing the show Bible for Doctor Who, I wouldn't make it a law, but I would say, like, it is a last resort. Because if anything, the Chibnall era taught us, it's a crutch. Yes, I get it. You don't want to do montages where you just want to cut to the next thing. Fair enough. It's a simple thing, but it's just too simple. Like, just saying, oh, they just beam there. I mean, it's just lazy. It is lazy writing. And challenge yourself to get out of that in a more interesting way, even if it does involve a little bit of montages or just, you know, the Indiana Jones thing of drawing the arrow so that, you know, it implies a time jump or something.
Well, I was going to say, after the Shadow Proclamation Court being the most recent mention of teleportation in Doctor Who, that you and I should have a court. We should take on roles of prosecutor and defense. And it sounds like you've already taken on the prosecution role. So
happily take that role. Where's my wig?
Yeah, have you not got one in your pocket? Yeah, I. Oh my God, I really should have a barrister's wig just for moments like this. May it please the court. I would like to give the case for the defense. And like many a public defender, I don't necessarily agree with what I'm defending here, but I'm going to give it my all. And I'm going to say, Malad, that the appearance of a good guy and a bad guy in the story, we already talked about with the Sontarans, it's just cool. And it can change, it can turn the tables in a heartbeat. Like, you know, you one person with a gun facing another person with a gun. Whoa, suddenly there are 50 people with guns. Like, that's turned the tables. That's exciting. That's drama. It's necessary. And if Doctor Who, Your Honor, if Doctor Who were to abandon teleportation as a device, then you'd basically be leaving it to the rest of science fiction. I mean, teleportation has been part of science fiction. I discovered in my thoroughly researched 15 minutes before the show started, it first appeared in Jules Verne in the 19th century. Like, you know, Jules Verne, basically the father of science fiction, with Mary Shelley being the mother, obviously. But yeah, so it's in there. And if you just abandon it, if you just leave it to Star Trek to mess up teleportation over and over again, you can't comment on it. So I say, no, sir. I say there should be no ban on teleportation in Doctor Who. It needs to use it. Perhaps, yes, needs to use it more sparingly. But that is up to the individual showrunner to decide. And it just, you know, it is far from the dumbest idea that Doctor Who has ever come up with. It's a show known for kind of messing around with loosey-goosey ideas. And also, it's even with the Disney money, it's a limited budget, people. This is an easy way to travel from one place to another. You know, do a travel montage by teleportation. Bam, you're done. You don't need to show them getting in and out, which would just be a terrible thing to have to impose on the show. So, in conclusion, Your Honor, I ask the jury to let teleportation go free. There's enough evidence to convict.
If it please, this is the court. I do not believe that a capital punishment is required for teleportation. I don't know if all the talk about TikTok bans lately has corrupted my worthy opponent's thinking on the subject, but the ban is not the case we are trying to make. What I do believe, though, that teleportation should probably get locked up for a while before it could come back out and serve as a plot device in Doctor Who. And here's why. We've had way too much of it in the Chibnall era, as we've just gone over. And in many of those cases, it was plain and simple lazy writing. There was just a lot of, let's just get everyone to this place or just do this one thing. And there are easier, maybe not easier, but there are other ways you can set that up and essentially go through another draft that will figure that out without the teleporting. Now, that said, you probably might still want to fall back on teleporting. Fair enough. Then you have to address the second point about teleports, which is that it's tremendous power on a sci-fi level. This is really controlling not just matter and energy on a certain level, but how the plot should go. If you think about how teleports work, and if you can actually just beam someone away from you or beam someone else into your presence on a whim, you need to have some explanation on why you're not doing that all the time. And some of the better episodes do this, right? Like the broken teleport. And again, it's throwaway dialogue, but you need throwaway dialogue, because otherwise everyone, people like us, are just like, well, just use the teleport. And I got to say, I've got to bring in one of my favorite episodes of Red Dwarf into the discussion, Honor, because it is an amazing comedic moment that hits this home, where at the end of an episode, everyone, our heroes, Lister and the cat and Crichton and Rimmer, need to get back to Starbug. And they're like, well, we're going to fight our way past the androids and do all this dramatic stuff, which sounds like an amazing sequence they would never have the money to shoot. Then Crichton pulls out, or we could just use the teleporter. and they just beam back, which is exactly, oh yeah, why don't we just do that? Because, and that's brilliant writing, because it sort of lays bare what every other show doesn't do.
Yep.
you got to at least explain why you're not using this amazing power you have over time and space to do the thing when you've already established that you have that power. So, well, and then of course there is the ultimate thing that again, no one ever really explains or deals with except Doctor Who, which is that it's killing you every damn time. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. And this is actually a really good opportunity to use a companion to question this. I mean, aren't I dying? And maybe even you get a nice little aside from Shudigatwa about, yeah, but you know, you'll thank me later.
Yeah, like, something like
think,
that.
What do you think the TARDIS does to you all the time? Or something like that.
You'd be like, you're dying all the time, honey. yeah. Well, okay. My learned colleague has changed my thinking on this. I think in fact he's right. I think we should lock up teleportation. Wait, where did it go?
Oh.
We were just sitting. Oh, it teleported out of the dock. Damn it.
Well, folks, if you can find teleporting as a plot device, go ahead and let us know on social media somewhere at, say, Pull to Open or Pull to Open 63, depending on what network you find us on, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the things. Or go ahead and check us out on youtube.com/pulltoopen, where you can go ahead and comment on this very podcast if you're watching us there. And while you're there, hey, you can give us a super thanks in the comments or even join our membership so you can become a true companion and get this podcast one day early every single week.
That's right. And if you want to contribute a little bit more and be a Viscount, that's our top rating, you can actually teleport into the show. That's right. We will invent teleportation technology just for you.
Betcha.
Dear listeners, that is an absolute bargain if ever I've heard one. And then you can actually teleport onto the show itself. And we promise not to beam you back too early.
All right. Well, I think we're going to leave the final judgment up to the fans and go ahead and vote on Spotify whether you think the show should give a rest to teleportation or not, or if we're just freaking out about nothing. I really should go back to our Star Trek fan club.
Yes, there should be a chill about teleportation, guys, option on that poll. Be sure to teleport that in there.
Noted.
All right. Well, this has been a Pull to Open special trip, and Pete and I will now teleport out in classic Star Trek style, but come back and join us next time, where we will be doing an indeterminate amount of teleporting. I believe we're just trying to remember how much teleportation there is in Phlox. So let's go check that out.
Come on back then. We promise not to beam you.